Hi, welcome to another episode of Caña Negra. We are in progress with a really juicy conversation.
From Stanford.
Yes, from Stanford University. So, shout out to everybody at the, what is it? Chicanx.
Chicano Latino.
Chicano, el Centro Chicano Latinx.
Chicano and Latinx Student Center.
Yeah. Damn, wait, hold on. Should we restart this?
No.
No, we can just continue talking.
Exactly. Right. And there's a lot of things going on. We should say, you know, we are looking into dispensaries right now.
Yes.
So you might hear a computer going back or a random question that has gummies versus hard candies. That could be another show.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah.
I also have a little bit of a cough. This is Genevieve, so bear with us. And
I don't know why this doesn't say what percentage THC.
Because these are important questions that need to have answers that we are trying to do. This is a multitasking podcast.
Well, we are Black women.
Right. Duh. And so that is the expectation. And we, you know, we do what we do. What we do.
This.
We does this. So we're having a conversation right now about liking living in the United States. Is that the question, or is that like there's nuance to it, and so we're just gonna continue our conversation?
Yeah, we'll just continue the conversation. So basically, we're talking about, you know, two of us live full time in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
One of us lives in a lot of places. It feels
in Panama,
in Panama, in Cuba, Philadelphia, New York,
in Panama.
Okay.
New year, new me.
Oh!
2020 vision.
I'm not scraggling
right.
No more.
So
we have our place.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. Panama City, Panama. And that's what it is. Well, that's what it's going to be for the next year. So.
I like it's a year by year basis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I mean, that's what we have to do. We're talking about immigrants. We're talking about me fleeing the U.S.
Right.
Not wanting to live here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, sometimes it's half day by half day. Mm. I don't even get to like day by day. When people say like, oh, it's a day, I take it day by day. I'm like, sometimes it's like a quarter day by quarter day. Sometimes it's half day by half day, hour by hour.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
Yeah. I mean, I've had those conversations with myself, and I've always questioned like, where would I go? I think but that's also a question that I've been having more now, because I feel like the world has become smaller and I have more access to it than I've had before. Like, it wasn't a question that I would have even had 5 years ago, because I was always like, I like New York, right? Mm-hmm. And also because I legitimately like my city with all of its flaws. I wish it was more affordable, or I wish I earned more, right? So that I wouldn't have to feel like I need to flee.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't felt comfortable in another place that I could say, okay, I would leave. Even like globally visiting, right? Like, for example, you'll go nice places in other countries, but then having the tourist perspective is different. And also knowing that then if you live there, you become, like, I think that there's, like, that mid-level space where you're not a local, but you're not a tourist, mm-hmm. right? You're, like, a long-term tourist, and you get benefits as such.
Or just a long-term foreigner.
Right.
You know, that's one of the things that I actually feel in New York City. I feel like and that's why I'm always, like, I claim where I live right now,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure if it claims me. And I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I'm actually okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that there are different things that I have done to also like feel like that. Like, most of my work, I have to travel for work. So I'm not grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm very active in my community, I'm not grounded in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that could come off as like, you know, I'm all over the place. I'm not here in this community. But I also feel like nowhere that I have gone in the U.S. do I feel that I belong, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in Latin America, when I have traveled, I have felt that I belong, right, in the different communities. Mind you, I haven't lived there.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't lived in Colombia. I have not lived in Brazil. I have not lived in Ecuador, but I have felt in the different communities that I belong. Where I haven't felt that in the United States, I haven't felt that I belong. Not in Atlanta, where I've lived, not in New York, in the Bronx specifically, where I currently live. So there's something to be said about that too, about that, you know, there's this sense of foreignness that you're reminded of all the time. And it's not, you know, in Ecuador, people used to call me Panama. And I didn't mind that because I still felt that sense of belonging.
Right. You're seen, which I think that New York has a has an ability to, like, make you feel invisible.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a really important piece to remember. And it's a detriment to the city, right? That it's like there's so much seeing that you're unseen.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right? And that, I think that in other places that people can be seen, right? I have felt in a lot of my travels in Latin America that I have been seen not in the way that I want to be seen. Like, I've been othered very comfortably, and that has made me feel unsafe in a way that the anonymity of New York makes me feel safe.
And I guess I'm in the middle, or a mix of both, because most of the communities I've visited in Latin America, most of the Black communities, the Black spaces that I've interviewed people, lived, worked, just visited for fun, I always felt accepted in all of these spaces. I was never made to feel as if I were an outsider or a foreigner, except in Cuba. And that is an extreme, or rather, toward a more extreme case, because Cuba is a very unique place. And so even though I'm in a Black body, I speak Spanish, I'm married to a Black Cuban, I'm still a foreigner. I still have access to money that most Cubans will never see in their lifetime. And so I'm still put into the category of a white person, or someone who has privilege, period. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. And I've noticed this because I'm at year 5 with my partner. So I've been going back and forth to Cuba for the past 5 years. And I feel very comfortable around him, his family, his friends, all of that. But I'm still hyper aware that I'm a foreigner, that I have more stuff than a lot of people there. And it's because they never stop reminding me that I do, because they'll ask for whatever it is. Can I have this? Can you bring me back this? Mm-hmm. Do you think you can get this? And I understand it's because they don't have access to it, more so than other Latin American countries. And so I'm constantly in that positionality of an entitled foreigner. Mm-hmm. And by proxy and by extension, they've started to treat my partner that way. Because he has access to the ATM, to the Caja Fuerte. Actually, not his friend, but someone said that I was a Caja Fuerte for him. Mm-hmm. He probably cursed them clean the fuck out. But he probably is one among many people that believe that. And so me being able to come in and out of spaces within the Latin American region, I've been able to do so fairly easily. But New York, again, for me, you know, being born and raised for a little of my life in Brooklyn, even today when I have clients, when I meet people, different people immediately can identify me as someone from Brooklyn if they have been exposed to people from Brooklyn. And it's just a familiarity that no matter how long I'm away from New York or Brooklyn, I go visit and it's back to the same old shit. And I do find comfort in that. Even among the gentrification, you can still find, you know, if fuckery is happening, you can still find the Caribbean woman that you lock eyes with and you both suck your teeth. You know, I somehow still end up in a bodega at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. getting my $5 here. Actually, it's not $5 no more.
Depends on where you go. Depends on where you live.
But you get your hero and your salt and vinegar chips, right? And I find great comfort in that because it's very familiar at this point. It feels innate to me. It's inherently of me. And so even though I always say New York is over, and I do believe that it's over, at least for me, and at least for a lot of my friends who have fled, and I don't even use that word lightly, they fled because they just couldn't live anymore.
Yeah, you can't live there.
Live there. And I was chronically depressed for 2 years. That's why I left. But still, I go back. I take great comfort in seeing Showtime. I take great comfort, you know, in those little New York-isms that no matter how gentrified and no matter how long I've been away, it still welcomes me with open arms, you know? Just the New York-isms that, like, for example, you see some fuckery on the train and everyone's looking around and having the same thought and the same response. And so that's what I find great comfort in. I feel like I belong in New York, just the same way as Evelyn was saying that
anonymity.
Yeah, all the ESL anonymity. You can be anonymous as you want or not anonymous as you want there. And you can be as, you know, focused. I'm not talking to nobody. I'm in my own world.
Right.
But then you can also turn to your... Because New York has got that rap that we're mean.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, we're not.
No.
You know, we're in our own zone. Mm-hmm. But...
That's also very racialized to me, though.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like in New York, white people are mean.
Yeah.
I do feel that white people have their screwed up face and their fake smiles.
And also out-of-towners who want to take on that... Right. What they think but is a New York
persona.
But
I don't think it's a New Yorker. I honestly feel like it's people that are outside of New York often. That you know, to your point, Dash, that they take on like what they think a New Yorker is, because we get the reputation of being brash and abrasive. And I think that there is an element of brash and abrasiveness.
I think it's more direct
in a way that is really difficult for me outside of New York City.
Mm-hmm. See, for me the abrasiveness is very similar to Panama in regards to like people being direct and keep them moving.
Yeah.
Especially women. It's like, no. Muévete ahí, por favor. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
But...
Like, dead ass, you're going to stand in the middle of the train platform.
Oye, niña, pero muévete. Right? But to me, if somebody says, oye, niña, muévete, I'm not going to be like, I can't do it, hablando. No. I'm just going to... I'm going to move.
Because New Yorkers don't really do... I mean, New Yorkers. I'm not talking about people who've moved there and say that they're New Yorkers now. But, like, I'm talking about, like, people that have lived there for some time. We don't do nice nasty. We just do nasty. Right? And so, like, I don't do nice nasty well. Like, I always joke nice that I don't do passive aggressive.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what the fuck you want?
Yeah.
Like, tell me what you want so we can move on.
Yeah.
And it is a... And that is a... I think that New York is one of those unique places that happens in, right? That it's just like... There's like a... I mean, in the sense of... At least in the United States. I've been to tons of other cities. And there is that kind of like... Let's have conversation. Like, we can have conversation after we get to the business.
But you know what it is, too? I don't think that's something innate of the people. I think it's the structure of how New York is.
Right, the function, yeah.
The function has made people like that. Because, you know, from you know, stories that I've heard and history that I know of, if you're like in the middle of the night and your whole building is burning down and you have to resolve stuff, you're not going to be nice. You're going to be like, get to the business, keep it moving.
That's it.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
You coming? Good. You not? Okay. Yeah. Peace out. So I think it's more of the structures and the systems that have made it
that's
like
the
that.
The environs of New York.
And especially with black people. And I would say immigrants that have been there for several generations, it was a fight for their life in this concrete, you know, very racialized.
And for so many people, they came to work. So they came to
Movete,
right?
Exactly.
For example, at least in the case of my mom, like she had children back home. She had to, you know, send money. Like there was very little time to chill. But, you know, our original conversation started because we were talking about someone who had moved to New York. And I felt like they always had something negative to say about New York.
They're always complaining.
And I really felt like one of the things is that it's really difficult to be a lifelong New Yorker. I think it's really difficult to not be a lifelong New Yorker. But I think that it's also, I question when people don't want to, they don't want to give credit to things that they may have learned that they then they can take everywhere, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think that there is a specific set of learning skills that happen in New York City Absolutely. That are super transferable to almost everywhere Absolutely. That you live in the world. And so as a lifelong New Yorker, I am bothered by the idea that someone can come in and be like, this is shitty, this is raggedy, this, everything sucks about here.
But right? some people, that's their MO as well. That some is people, their MO. Alguna gente le gusta quejarse. Quejarse.
And I'm just like, nobody wants to hear that shit. Like, you know what? Just if your time here is over,
then it's over.
Be gone. Walk in grace. Walk with God. Vaya con Dios.
Vaya con Dios.
And good luck. Because the reality is that for most people, especially the people that I've known that have moved outside of New York City, they still take that. Mm. They may relocate, but there's a little bit of the drive, a little bit of like the oomph, a little bit of like the let me figure this out mm-hmm. and stick-to-itiveness that you've developed and really matured in New York City that now enables you to live comfortably in other places, mm-hmm. right?
I think there's something there too. For me, and my experience is a little bit different because I wasn't born and raised in New York City. But for me personally, to exist in New York as it is right now, I had to fully close a circle and close it in regards to, like, this is where I'm going to be. Mm-hmm. Which, in Atlanta, I had done that as well. So I wasn't always, like, because I really liked Atlanta, mm-hmm. right?
Atlanta's really nice. I like it, too.
I really liked Atlanta.
I hate Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like it to live, per se.
Yeah, so I was...
But I like the city. Uh-huh.
So I was living in Atlanta, and I actually really liked it. And I was working, I had a community, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what happened with... when I moved to New York... Mm-hmm. I've always had this, like, I'm going to move somewhere else. I can't live in the United States for the rest of my life. Blah, 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 blah. So what I actually had to do was close that open circle of uncertainty around where I was going to live and close it temporarily. So I only close it, you know, this is my second year closed. And I gave myself 5 years of mm-hmm. existing mm-hmm. in New York, mm-hmm. knowing that I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to move. And that has helped me. Mm-hmm. To stop the complaining. Mm. That has helped me to be present in New York City. Mm. Love my house more. I really love my house. Like, so love it even more. My community, my neighbors, build more relationships. Like, I would have never had a show, Caña Negra, with people because I'm not going to live here too long. Mm-hmm. So why get attached to these people or to a show mm-hmm. when I'm not going to live here? Mm-hmm. So I've been able to, and I feel people don't usually consciously do that.